John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14, verses 1 through 7. John 14, 1 through 7. This is the sixth of the seven I am statements that we find in the Gospel of John, where Christ identifies himself. And we want to examine this one tonight. We're going to go back to verse number 1 so we can get the context of this particular statement that Christ makes. Verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't know about you, but wherever he is, that's where I want to be. And whether I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. And all God's people said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for your revelation of who you are. God, we pray that we would be brought to an understanding of biblically who you are, that we would not be falling into the realm of our own imagination and our own making of who you are, but God, that we would know the Christ of the Bible, we would receive that Savior and Lord, and God, we would champion him. God, we pray that you'd help us to see clearly tonight what you mean when you say that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and how important that is for us. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Well, one of the things that we must remember is that what the world finds so offensive about Christianity, and we are seeing more and more the offense that Christianity is brewing in our country. But what we have to remember is that what the world finds so offensive about Christianity is not necessarily what we believe, but it is who is at the very center of Christianity. The world hates Jesus. It has always hated Jesus. And of consequence, after we know they hate Jesus, we know they hate God. And they hate what Jesus taught. And they hate those who follow him. If the world hated him, it will hate those who truly follow him. But don't forget, the offense is Jesus. As long as they can keep Jesus in a baby state, he's not so threatening. But the Jesus of the Bible is an offense to the world. And I think of all the I am statements, the one that we are going to look at tonight is probably the most exclusive and it is the most offensive. He is the bread of life. He He is the light of the world. He is the door of the sheepfold. He is the good shepherd. He is the resurrection and the life. And here he is the way, the truth, the life. In other words, there is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life except the way, the truth, and the life that is in Christ. In this verse, I think that Jesus categorically says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then he adds, lest anyone should misunderstand him, no one comes to the Father except by me. You only get to the Father coming the right way, knowing the right truth, having the right life. And the only way, life, and truth that get you to the Father is found in Christ. We are reminded in this statement that we are what we are as human beings. We are alienated from God. We are ignorant of the truth, and we are condemned to spiritual and eventually physical death. And so the glory of Christ's claim is that he is the divine answer to man's problems. Amen? What is it that is going to get us past our alienation from God by following Christ, who is the way? What is it that is going to fix our ignorance of truth? It is by receiving Christ, who is the truth. And what is it about is going to overcome our spiritual death? It is by receiving Christ, who is the life. The three things that man needs are found in Christ. He is the way to God. He is the truth. And he is the life. Instead of alienation, instead of ignorance, instead of death, there is truth, and there is the way, and there is the life. So this text is actually the gospel. It is the good news of God. It is the fact that everything we need, we find in Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, let's look at these three things a little bit more in detail tonight. Let's begin by looking at the way of reconciliation. The way of reconciliation. There is no man that comes to the Father unless he comes through the way of Christ. And so we are reconciled as aliens back to a right relationship with God only through Christ and his way. Say amen. We cannot be reconciled back to God any other way. We cannot be reconciled by God through any other way plus Christ. It is Christ who is the way. And so we must come to the Father through Christ. How is that accomplished? Or better yet, what is the way of Christ? Number one, it is the removal of our sin. We cannot be reconciled to God while we still are in our sins, or while we still possess our sins, right? Light has no fellowship with darkness, right? Holiness has no fellowship with depravity, right? And so something has to happen. What is that that has to happen? Our sins have to be removed. How does God do that? Through Christ. The problem that we deal with is how can our sin be put away? Because is it not true that we are sinners in God's sight? Does God not declare that we are sinners in His sight? And does not our conscience agree with God's judgment? It's not only that God declares me a sinner, my conscience also agrees I am a sinner. But what shall be done about that? Well, reformation won't do it. Reforming won't do it. Because reformation may take care of a future debt. It doesn't take care of the past debt. Amen? Reformation cannot discharge a past debt. And so this past sinfulness, it haunts us. So some will plead for mercy. But God's mercy is offered in Christ. Some plead that God will have mercy as if they think God will just simply forget our sinfulness. God doesn't simply forget. He punishes our sins in Christ. So what is done? How is our sin removed? Well, the only way that our sin can be removed, God has revealed that way in Christ. That's why Christ is the way. He is the way that our sins are removed. God has sent His Son, made Him a man, to enter into a covenant reunion with union with His people so that He becomes one of them and eligible to bear their sins upon Himself. He undertakes the mission to be our substitute. He dies in our place. He bears in His own body God's wrath. And then by His death, He removes our guilt and He removes our punishment that we deserve for our sin, and it is removed forever. Amen. And as a result of God's death in place of His people, our sin has been blotted out. Amen? It has been removed as far as the east is from the west. It has been placed behind God's back. It has been cast into the depths of the sea. The thing about this is through Christ, our sins are forgiven and forgotten forever. They are gone, never to appear on our ledger again. You remember the Old Testament? All the sacrifices, all the animals that were killed that would atone for sin, but only temporarily, only for a year, and then the whole thing had to be done over and over again. The way of the removal of our sins is in Christ, as Christ goes to the cross and dies in our place. And as He receives the wrath of God that we deserve, the punishment for our sins is extracted on Him. And the guilt of our sins is on Him. Therefore, it's no longer on us. Amen? You see, the only way that we can begin to have fellowship with God is if our sins are removed. And God does that through His Son. He is the way. It's funny how many different ways people try to have that done. Through works, through good deeds, through many different ways. But there is one way, and Christ said, I am the way. So, to escape our sin and the guilt that goes with it, we must have Jesus, because He is the way. He is the perfect and only way. That means that any religion, any cult that denies Christ as the only way is a false religion and is offering some other way that will not work. But that's only half the story. The removal of our sin is important through Christ, but then I think we need to realize that we must have the righteousness of Christ. Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I've said this before, and I always get strange looks when I say this, but I'm going to say it again. Only perfect people wind up in heaven. I'm still getting some strange looks. Only perfect people get into heaven. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you in here tonight are perfect in and of yourselves? Nobody? Does that mean that none of us are going to heaven? No. Because we have been, through salvation, we have been given the righteousness of Christ. And He has kept the law perfectly. And He has done whatever the Father commanded perfectly. And you see, what happens is this double imputation is that my sins are given to Christ, His righteousness is given to me, He dies for my sins, the wrath of God is expelled on Him, while I live in perfect righteousness, not mine, it is an alien righteousness, it's His. So that I can now approach God, I can enter into the very presence of God without sin and perfect in Christ. Amen? Because here's the thing. If Christ forgives me of my sins, how am I ever going to stay in a right relationship with God? He's holy. He's perfect. How am I ever going to stay in a right relationship? How am I ever going to keep pleasing Him? Because I'm in Christ, and Christ keeps pleasing Him. You see, none of us are perfect in ourselves. But if we're in Christ, we're all perfect. And we'll be able to enter heaven as perfect, righteous individuals. Amen? Do we still sin against God? Yes. But I am in Christ, and He has never sinned, nor never will sin against His Father. Amen? How is it possible that we could ever go to heaven? How is it possible that we can ever be reconciled to God? Only one way. Christ says, I'm the way. Thomas says, we don't know where you're going and we don't know the way. Christ says, I am the way. If you're going to go to the Father, you must come my way. My way is that I'm going to the cross and die for you. I'm going to the cross and shed my blood for you. I'm going to the cross and take your place and take your sins, and I'm going to give you my perfect righteousness so that you can go and have a right relationship with God as a perfect, sinless person in Christ. You with me? Number two. Not only do we see the way of reconciliation, but we see the truth of revelation. He says, I am the way, I am the truth. This is the second claim that he makes here. And what he is going to identify is that he is especially the truth about the Father, which includes all other truth. Now, Christ does not say that he has come to tell you the truth about the Father. And he doesn't come and he doesn't say that he has come to point to the truth about the Father. He comes and he says, I am the truth. If you have seen me, you've seen him. If you believe me, you believe him. Christ comes to reveal to us the truth about God the Father in two ways, I think. Number one, Christ is the evidence of God's love. God is a loving God. We do not serve a God that is always angry, that we have to constantly appease. Sometimes I think we have that kind of God. The more good things I do, the better God will be to me. That we don't have that kind of God, right? We don't serve a rain God. If we'll be good, He won't send rains. And if we are good, He will when we want. We don't have that kind of God. We have a God that is a loving God. And this is what God said. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave," what? "His only begotten Son." Now, his only begotten Son is Jesus, right? And Jesus says, "I am the truth." What Jesus says here is, "I am revealing the reality that God is a God of love, that God is a personal God. He is a person. He's not an impersonal force in the universe, but he loves. And because he loves, he gives. And he gives the best he has. He gives his Son. Knowing what man will do to his Son." Now, I've told you this before too. I'm not giving my Son for you. I'm not. I love you, but my love does not go to that depth. That I would give my Son to you knowing that you would beat and dishonor and crucify and spit upon my Son. I would not. If it's up to me, if your salvation is up to me, you're dying and going to hell, right? Aren't you glad your salvation is not up to me? Aren't you glad God loves us far more than we could ever love him or each other? The evidence of God's love is Christ. Christ has been given. Christ has come. Christ has put on this robe of flesh, and Christ will go to the cross and he will die, and God the Father will not stop it. Why will God not stop this? Because he loves you. And the only hope you have is in Christ. Amen? And the way that you know God is a loving God is because you're looking at Christ. If you've seen me, you've seen him. I am the evidence of God's love toward his people. Not only is he the evidence of God's love, but he is the expression of God's holiness. When you see Christ, you see perfection, right? Christ never said a wrong word, right? Christ never acted in a wrong way. Christ never got angry when he shouldn't have got angry. Christ never had a wrong thought, a wrong motive, and Christ never disobeyed his Father. Even when obeying his Father means going to the cross. In all things, he obeyed the Father perfectly. In the law that the Father had given, he obeys it perfectly. There's not one thing that we could point to in Christ that we would say is out of order. All things are in order. There's all good and no evil. Just as God is holy, so was Christ also holy. When you look at Christ, you see the holiness of God. Jesus is holy. He is without sin. He has declared that God is like himself in his holiness. Right? Jesus hates sin just as God hates sin. Holiness. What does Jesus come to reveal to us about God the Father? That God is a God of love and he is a God of holiness. Therefore, God just cannot forget your sins. God can just not sweep your sins under the rug. God just can't let bygones be bygones. Because while God is a God of love, he's also a God of justice. Our sins must receive the payment that is required of the law. The wages of our sin is what? Death. Something has to die. In the Old Testament, it was animals. They had to die over and over and over again. Now it is Christ. Our sins have not just been forgiven, they have been put on Christ, and the wrath of God has been poured on Christ because of our sins, so that God's justice could be met and His love could be given to us. God is a loving, caring, compassionate, merciful God, but at the same time and equally, He is a God of holiness, He is a God of righteousness, He is a God of justice. They cannot be played against each other. He is equal in all attributes. Jesus says, I am the way. If you want to get to the Father and reconcile to the Father, you must come through me. I am the truth. I reveal to you God the Father in all of His love and all of His holiness. And then He says, I am the life of regeneration. You don't go to heaven dead. You don't receive Christ dead. Say amen. What Christ does, spiritually speaking, is He defeats death. Because all of us are dead. He claims to be the life to all who believe on Him. In other words, He is that which frees us from death. Here's what Arthur W. Pink said. He said, the whole Bible bears solemn witness to the fact that the natural man is spiritually lifeless. He walks according to the course of this world. He has no love for the things of God. The fear of God is not upon him, nor has he any concern for God's glory. Self is at the center and the circumference of his existence. He is alive to the things of the world, but dead to heavenly things. The one who is out of Christ exists, but he has no spiritual life. What has Christ come to do? To bring life to those who are spiritually dead. And there is no other life except the life that is in Christ. Are you with me? We cannot make ourselves alive. No religion can make us alive. No doctrine can make us alive. The only thing that can resurrect the dead is Christ. When we receive Christ, we receive the life because Christ is the life. Christ gives us God's life, and that life is eternal life, and those who receive Him can no more perish than God the Father can perish. He has come to give us life because He is life. He defeats death, and He is the only one that can defeat our spiritual deadness. And then look at the distribution of life. Christ can make dead, spiritually dead people alive. And He promises to give life to all those who will come to Him. Right? No man can come to the Father unless he comes by me. But if you come to Christ, you have life. And if you won't come to Christ, you won't have life. Is that right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And does that really mean everlasting life? Does that mean life that has no end? Does that mean life that never ceases? And yes, it does. Jesus adds later, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And nothing can snatch them out of my hand. Christ says, I am the way. If you want reconciliation to the Father, you come through me, because I will take away your sins and I will give you my righteousness. I am the truth. If you want to know the truth about the Father, then look at me, because if you believe Him, you believe me. If you've seen me, you've seen Him. I am the evidence of the love of God. I am the expression of the holiness of God. I am the life. I bring regeneration. I bring life to dead spiritual people. And if I don't bring the life, and if they don't come to me, they don't ever have life. Right? And I want to add this point. There's nothing for us to do except to receive Him by faith. That's it. There is nothing for us to achieve. There are no improvements to be made. There are no lessons to learn. Just believe in the biblical Jesus. Accept Him for what He claims to be. He claims to be the way. He claims to be the truth. He claims to be the life. He is the way to God, the truth about God, the life of God. Believe Him. Jesus did not say that He was one of an infinite number of equally valid ways to God. He did not say that He was an aspect of the truth. He did not say that He was a phase of life. He said, I am the way, the only way. I am the truth, the only truth, and I am the what? Life. And I am the only life, so that no one comes to the Father except by me. That's enough to cause you all kinds of problems in our culture today. In a culture that says all ways, all religions are equal, and all religions have a valid way to God. They do not. And when you stand and you say the only way people get to heaven is if they are Christians, you are going to find that you are going to be in a beehive. Right? And it amazes me that when somebody finally gets a preacher on the TV and they ask that question, are you saying that only people who believe and trust in Christ are going to heaven? Why don't they say, yes? That's exactly what I believe, because that's exactly what the Bible says. And anyone who doesn't believe in Christ, anyone who doesn't trust in Christ, is going to hell. That's the truth. It's sad. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish all roads went to God. I wish it was different, but it's not. I wish God wasn't like He was in the Old Testament. I wish He wasn't a God of holiness. I wish He was just a God of love, and that He just loves everyone and tolerates everyone and sings kumbaya with everyone. He's not. I wish that we had the choice. I wish we could make our own decisions. I wish we could raise ourselves. I wish we weren't even dead spiritually, but we are. So therefore, we need Christ. And Christ says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. A little girl came with her mother to the preacher. Mom seemed more interested than the little girl. The little girl's dog had just gotten killed. And the little girl said, Pastor, is my dog going to be in heaven? Well, I don't know how you feel about that, but I certainly don't want you to go home crying tonight. But he didn't want to break the little girl's heart, right? He didn't want to hurt the girl. And mom seemed like she was more interested in this conversation than the little girl. So he didn't want to hurt any of them. So he stammered around a little bit, and he finally came up with the answer that he felt that he could tell them. He said, "Well, if your dog trusted in Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, yes, he'll be in heaven. Because that's the only way anybody's going to be in heaven. Amen? If they trust in the way, if they trust in the truth and the life, which is Christ Jesus. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word tonight. We pray that it would be meat and marrow to our bones, that we would rejoice in you, and we would be glad in what we have in Christ. We are reconciled to the Father, no longer aliens, no longer enemies, but we are one with God because of the work of Christ on the cross and his righteousness that he has won for us. And God, we know that you are a God of love and a God of justice because we see Christ. And God, we know that you are the life. We need our life, and we know that our life is in Christ. Everything we need, we have in Jesus. And he is a gift from the Father. And we thank you and we praise you. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.